protect me. Hide me. Somebody help me, Sally.
Lead me.
Hide
me.
Every step of the way.
Protect me.
Protect me from the storms of life.
Listening to KVOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. Due to temporary closure of in-station activity at KBOO, meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available at our website. The Personnel Committee meets on the second Monday of the month at 6 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify if a meeting is being held.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Welcome to An Islamic Point of View, a production of the Muslim Community Center of Portland and this station. MCCP recognizes that black people on this land have suffered immensely from slavery, oppression, murder, and discrimination for over 400 years. Black Americans have always had a particularly difficult time with law enforcement, and this painful history has resulted in the intergenerational trauma, pain, and fear of so many in our communities. We acknowledge this shameful history and ongoing oppression, and we take a clear stand against anti-blackness and racism in all its forms against anyone. It is our duty as Muslims to help the oppressed through our prayers, aid, solidarity, and willingness to listen and learn. It is also our responsibility to stop oppression, and perhaps the most lasting way to do this is to shatter the mentalities that are breeding grounds for white supremacy, capitalist excess, misogyny, and other oppressive ideas and structures. Today we have a special lecture on the root cause and origin of racism from Ustad Ihsan Alexander.
I greet you with the greeting of peace and light and love. May God Almighty's divine peace and protection be with you and with your loved ones. I remember growing up in Los Angeles during the LA riots in the 1990s, and this was when an African American was pulled out of his car, out of his vehicle by several policemen, and really brutally beaten in Los Angeles. The man was brutally beaten, and it was captured on videotape by a man who happened to have a home video camera. And this was quite remarkable because back then people didn't have smartphones with cameras on them, and for somebody to get video footage of something like that was quite rare. So this incident created tremendous outrage when these officers were acquitted, when there were no charges really pressed against them for having very clearly and brutally beaten this man in what was obviously a racist situation. It was a really difficult time. It was a traumatic time for a lot of people throughout the country, throughout the world, but especially in Los Angeles. I remember a friend of mine was actually killed as a result of the riots that took place in LA. He was Korean and his family owned a store, and they were there trying to protect the store from the looting and the riots that were taking place. And unfortunately, he was shot and killed. I remember seeing his sister in school and the sheer utter devastation on her face that her older brother had just been killed. My own mother, may Allah Almighty rest and bless her soul, was also injured in the situation. She was driving home from work and apparently was stuck in traffic. And again, I was still quite young. I didn't understand the details of the situation. But somehow she was struck by someone walking past the car, and she ended up having a broken arm from that incident. So this was a strange time to be growing up and a strange experience to have growing up in this society and in this culture. And it had a tremendous impact on me. I've seen, like many others in this country and throughout the world, have seen firsthand how unnecessary violence, conflict, pain, and suffering are created out of racism. I've always known that it was wrong, fundamentally wrong, and I've always wondered, what is the root cause of racism? And what causes human beings to act so inhumanely towards one another? Now, the truth is that racism has been with humanity since the dawn of time. Racism has been a problem within the human race since the beginning of recorded history. Yet racism did not actually begin with humanity. The root cause of racism is not actually human. Hence, it is inhumane and leads to inhumanity. Racism can be broadly defined as the belief that a particular group of people, usually our group of people, is somehow superior to others based on genetics and ancestry, and how this belief then manifests itself in practice and in policy towards other groups of people. It can also mean the dislike and the hatred, the looking down and the condescension of other people or towards other people simply based on their race, culture, or even religion or where they come from. It's based in the belief that we are somehow better or superior to them. And these differences are always based in superficial differences. Right? They're not fundamental, they're not essential, they're not spiritual for sure. And most often it's based on, again, where a person comes from geographically, the color of their skin. The most obvious cases are black and white, or perhaps Asian and non-Asian, Arab and non-Arab, and so on. But these are fundamentally based in superficial identity, how people tend to identify themselves or what they tend to identify themselves as. Racism is fundamentally not based on essential reality, that which makes us human, which makes all of us human beings. Now, superficial identity, the identification of us, ourselves, me and I, based on superficial criteria, circumstances and characteristics, and the definition of others based on these superficial characteristics, is precisely what spirituality seeks to liberate human beings from. Spirituality is, by definition, the shift in consciousness, the progressive shift in consciousness from external and superficial illusory identity to fundamental and essential reality, the true self, the spirit. And it is that that unites all human beings. We all have spirit. We all have life energy within us. And if we can first and foremost identify as human beings, as spirits, and that this external dress, this external appearance, which is temporal, is only superficial and does not truly define any of us, we will have a lot more peace in our lives and in the world. In this way, spirituality heals. Spirituality makes whole. In this way, spirituality transcends separation, borders, and barriers, and ultimately leads to love between human beings. It is spirituality that leads to oneness, which is the very purpose of faith, of religion. Yet ego-based consciousness inevitably leads to separation, to conflict, to competition, to violence between human beings. Now, what is the actual cause, the root cause, the origin of racism? In Surah Al-Hijr, in the Holy Quran, chapter 15, verses 28 to 35, we are given the description of the creation of humanity, of human beings, of the first human, Adam alayhi salam, out of earth. This human creation was then established by God, by the Creator, as His deputy, as His vicegerent, as His representative within creation. All of creation was then commanded to prostrate before Adam alayhi salam, before the first man, before human beings. And all of creation obeyed. All of creation, the angels, nearly all of creation obeyed that commandment, that order from Allah Almighty, except Iblis. Now, at the time, Iblis was one of the servants of God in the divine presence. He was not an angel, he was of the jinn, but he was actually amongst the angels due to his tremendous level of service, worship, and prayer. Now, he specifically said in his rebellion, in his act of rebellion, I will not prostrate to this creation, to this creature whom you have created out of earth, out of mud. He believed that he was created from a superior substance, fundamentally. Right? He believed in the superiority of his being, of his creation, and he refused to submit and to surrender, to prostrate, as he was commanded and ordered to do so, based on this belief. based on the belief that he was somehow superior to the other. His rebellion and his resistance to the will of God, to the order and commandment of God, was based in arrogance and in pride, the opposite of humility. Right? Spirituality is fundamentally to become more humble. Iblis, Satan's path, is to be arrogant, to be prideful. Well, the path of spirituality is the path of humility, the submission, the surrendering of the self, of the ego. The path of Satan is the aggrandizement of self and of ego-based consciousness. The truly pious, the truly humble, the truly spiritual do not consider themselves superior to anything in creation, let alone other human beings. They treat animals and even plants, even rocks and minerals with respect, because they realize that everything is not just only a creation of God, but that everything is imbued with spirit and thus with consciousness. The truly pious, humble, and spiritual have transcended ego and self-based consciousness to feel the one life force that pervades and permeates all living things. As a result of this rebellion against Allah Almighty's divine will and order and commandment, Iblis was cast out from the divine presence, and he was cursed. And henceforth, he became known as Satan the Accursed. Racism is a satanic quality, and it results in a satanic paradigm. Allah Almighty reveals in the Holy Quran, in Surah Al-Hujurat, O mankind, we have created you from a single pair of male and female, and made you into nations and tribes, that you may know one another. Verily, the most honored of you in the sight of God are they who are most righteous. This is Surah Al-Hujurat, chapter 49, verse 13 in the Holy Quran. In this profoundly important ayah or verse, our Lord, our Creator, God Almighty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals that we have been created and distinctly made into different nations and tribes by divine will, so that we may come to know one another, not to fight one another, not to despise one another, but to know one another. And to know means to love. You can only truly know the other by loving the other, by becoming the other. Love is a synonym for oneness. So one can only truly know the other by becoming one with the other, by becoming the other, by leaving the self behind, and thereby awakening to the possibility of love. And this is the true purpose of creation, and of religion, and of spirituality. The very purpose of our existence is ultimately to awaken to love, to leave behind egoism, self-centeredness, selfishness, and to awaken to the possibility of love. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that all men are created equal, as are the teeth of a comb. And then he went on to explain that the only thing that differentiates human beings from one another is their degree of piety, of humility, of righteousness, their degree of goodness and light and beauty in the divine presence of God. He, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, taught that God does not look to your outward appearances, but rather looks to your hearts and your deeds, your actions. Whosoever has allowed his or her heart to be infected with racism, and thus with arrogance and pride, are in reality representatives and followers and worshippers of Satan the Accursed, because that is his way. That is his religion. It doesn't matter if one calls themselves a Muslim, a Christian, a Jew, a Buddhist, a Hindu, but if they are following the path of arrogance and pride, of self-righteousness, of putting the self above others, they are following in the footsteps of Satan the Accursed. And sadly, unfortunately, very often, racism has taken root and does take root in the hearts of those who identify with religious practices, with religious and faith-based traditions. Right? People are not immune from the diseases of the heart simply because they identify with any particular religion. One must actually follow that religion. One must actually follow the teachings of that prophet. Simply being religious or identifying as such doesn't automatically make one pious or spiritual or humble or elevated. Doesn't make one sincere and acceptable in the divine presence of God. And I say this because it's a very common pitfall. So many people slip into the holy people syndrome and fail to actually follow the very teachings of the religion they profess and identify with. And this is also why religion, without spirituality, becomes the antithesis of its very purpose. Religion is the outer dimension, right? What we generally refer to as religion is in fact only the outer dimension. of religion. And spirituality is its inner dimension, and we need both. Cannot have just the outer dimension and attain to success. Both are necessary. Religion plus spirituality equals success, leads to success. Religion without spirituality is going to result in nothing but egoism, ego-based consciousness. And so too, in fact, does spirituality without religion. It's just another manifestation and form of egoism. Again, only by carrying both outer and inner discipline, outer and inner excellence, can a human being reach the true success. Can a human being truly awaken? Can a human being truly become enlightened? Only thus can a human being truly ascend towards the divine presence of God. Once, one of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his name was Abu Dhar, and he was speaking, and he was corrected by one of the other companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Bilal. Now, Sayyidina Bilal was at once a slave that had been brought from Abyssinia and who was freed by one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and he became the first muezzin, the first one to call the adhan in Islam, one of the most noble and lofty positions any human being can possibly have. He was designated by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be the one to call people to prayer with his beautiful voice. So Sayyidina Bilal was one of the great and close companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Abu Dhar was also one of the close companions of the Prophet ﷺ. Yet he was upset when Bilal corrected him. And he said, "And even you will correct me, O son of a black woman?" Now when the Prophet ﷺ became aware of this, he became extremely angry. And when Abu Dhar went to go see the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet turned away from him. And he said to him, "Ya Abu Dhar, indeed, you are a man in whom there is still jahiliyyah. You are a man in whom there still remains jahiliyyah, ignorance and unconsciousness," which is precisely what the Prophet ﷺ came to liberate humanity from jahiliyyah, from ignorance and unconsciousness. And then he ﷺ went on to say, "By the one who revealed the book to Muhammad ﷺ, none is more righteous or more virtuous than any other except by righteous deeds, except in their piety, except in their humility and excellence." Abu Dhar was devastated, and he left the presence of the Prophet ﷺ in tears, and he went out and sought Bilal. And when he found Bilal, Abu Dhar put his own head to the ground and said, "Ya Bilal, I will not move from this position until you put your foot on my neck. You are the honorable and I am the disgraced." What did Sayyidina Bilal do? Radiallahu anhu. May Allah Almighty's divine peace and pleasure be with all of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. Sayyidina Bilal wept and picked up Abu Dhar and kissed his face and said to him, "The face that has prostrated to God deserves to be kissed and not stepped upon." Allahu Akbar. These were the men and the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. And it's important to note that when it came to Abu Dhar, it was his love for the Prophet of Allah, for the Messenger of God ﷺ, that led to the awakening of his heart and the purifying of his heart from the poison of racism. Now, I need not contrast this with what has recently happened, but I think the difference is striking. So one wonders, where is the love? Where is the mercy in the heart of they who oppress and abuse others, especially when they are empowered and others are disempowered? Where is the love and mercy in such hearts? Do they not fear God? And this is when fear of God becomes necessary. Because even if that individual is unable to take his right back, Allah Almighty, God, will take his right from you, and you will face your Lord and Creator on the Day of Judgment. Jesus, alayhi salam, the great messenger and prophet of God, peace and blessings be upon him, said, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out devils in your name? And done many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of evil." And this is recorded in the Gospel of Matthew 7:21-23. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his farewell pilgrimage, in his farewell sermon, which took place on the 9th of the lunar month of Dhul Hijjah, in the 10th year after the Hijrah, after the migration from Mecca to Medina, this was on March 6th, of 632 of the Common Era. He, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said to the people, "O mankind, O people, your Lord is one and your Father is one. All of you are from Adam and Adam was from the ground. An Arab has no superiority over a non-Arab, nor does a non-Arab have any superiority over an Arab. Nor does a white have superiority over a black, nor does a black have superiority over a white. Verily, the best of you in the sight of God are they who are most righteous, pious, humble, and sincere. They who are most God-fearing. Now, sadly, racism has been an epidemic within the United States of America since its inception. And it seems to be persistently more prevalent here than anywhere else in the world. Why is this? Because unfortunately, and this is not the fault of the people themselves, but rather of the system that we live under. Sadly, unfortunately, America is perhaps the most materialistic, self-centered, and egocentric society in the world. And this is the inevitable result of unbridled capitalism, individualism, and the religion of me and more. Materialism, in contrast to spirituality, inevitably leads to inequity and inhumanity. For some to have more, and in this case, for some to have incomprehensibly more, many others must have less. And for some to justify having more, others must be worth less. And this is the result of a godless Darwinian paradigm. It's simply the survival of the fittest. There is no mercy, there is no love, there is no compassion. It's a system that is based in competition and conflict. In the Gospel of Matthew, there's an account of Satan taking Jesus alayhi salam to the highest peak, to a high mountain, and he shows him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he says to him, to Jesus alayhi salam, all of this and all of these I will give to you if you but bow down to me and worship me. Jesus alayhi salam, the great messenger and prophet, the great warrior of God, said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord thy God and serve him only. This is in the book of Matthew, or the Gospel of Matthew 4:8-10. And in another instance, Jesus alayhi salam, teaching his disciples, says to them, rejecting materialism, he alayhi salam says, for what shall it profiteth a man were he to gain the entire world and yet lose his very soul? This is Mark 8:36. In America, perhaps we can say that we have gained the entire world, but what of our soul? And this, in fact, applies to anyone and everyone throughout the world. Rampant materialism can only lead to iniquity and inequity. Materialism is what is known in Arabic as hubidunya, the love of the world. It's based in ego, and it results in arrogance and pride, and inevitably leads to racism. None can escape their karma. We each will have to face what we have sent forth through our deeds and our actions. In Surah Az-Zalzala, Allah Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, whosoever does an atom's weight of good shall see it, and whosoever does an atom's weight of evil shall see it. This is Surah Zalzala, chapter 99, verses 7 through 8. And in Surah Yasin, the heart of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God Almighty the Creator, reveals and says and asks, did I not enjoin on you, O children of Adam, that you not worship Satan, for that he is an avowed enemy to you, and that you worship me? And in this verse, in this ayah, Allah is not speaking just to the Muslims. He's addressing all of humanity, the children of Adam, whatever faith tradition one may come from. When Jesus alayhi salam was asked, what is the greatest commandment, O Lord? He said that you worship the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your strength and all of your might. So in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling back and referencing that fundamental and first pillar of any religion, that you reject Satan and worship God. Allah Almighty goes on to say in this surah, this is the straight path. Hadha sirat al-mustaqim. This is the straight path. Yet he has led astray a great multitude of you. Will you not use your reason? This is the hell that you were promised. This is from Surah Yasin, chapter 36, verses 60-63. This is the hell that you were promised. An interesting image as we watch many parts of the country being burned and on fire as a result of the hell that we have created ourselves. What we experience in this world is nothing but a foreshadowing of what we're going to experience in the world beyond. We have everything to make this world peaceful and habitable, prosperous and pleasant for everyone. And yet look what we're doing with it. Look what we are choosing to create. There is enough wealth and abundance on this planet for every human being to live in peace, to not be in dire need. We can take care of everybody, but we've been infected with this culture of selfishness, of self-centeredness, of me and more, this culture of materialism, which cannot ever lead to happiness or success. It can only lead to misery and isolation, separation and fragmentation of human beings. Instead of worshiping God, we are worshiping the world. We are worshiping Satan. A'udhu billah wa la ilaha illallah. We seek refuge in Allah Almighty from the accursed Satan. In summary, racism is a satanic quality. Satan was the first racist, and it is the inevitable result of materialism and a way of life, of a culture, of a paradigm based in materialism. Materialism is egoism. It's the result of egoism, and it results in separation, competition, and conflict. The cure is, and always has been, spirituality, humility, light, and love. In a recent Gallup poll, almost 90% of Americans believed in God or stated that they believe in God, in a God. Yet what kind of belief is this when we are living but for the world? If we believe in God, let us worship God. Let us remember God. Let us remember that we're here for a very short time. And no matter how much you attain and acquire, you can't take it with you. And this insatiable pursuit of more can only lead to misery, depression, sickness of the soul. While egoism, self-centeredness, this way of life can only lead to conflict and competition, to separation, spirituality leads to love. It leads to oneness. It leads to humility, which makes possible harmony between human beings. Human beings have been so infected with ego now, with pride and arrogance, that there is not even peace in households between family members. There is no humility. Everyone is at war with one another within a household. Children do not respect parents, spouses do not respect one another. It's complete chaos, and it's a result of this culture. What are we doing? How are we living? We have to stop and ask ourselves. And really, with this pandemic and everything that's happening right now, Allah Almighty, our Lord, our Creator, is giving all of humanity a moment to reflect. What are you doing with your lives? What's actually important? Do you really want it to go back to the way it was? Was it really that good? Humanity, human beings, this is the opportunity. This is the moment for us to come back to faith, to humility, to piety, to reverence. This is the time to come back to humility before the Creator. This life is passing. We are each here for maybe 70, 80, maximum 100 years, and then we're going, and it will be like the blink of an eye. And then before us will be outstretched eternity. Eternity is waiting. Eternity is coming. Let us prepare for it. This world is passing. This world is fleeting. None of us know, and this has been made clear to us more than ever before with this pandemic, if we will be here tomorrow or next week or next month. God only knows. And how will we stand before our Lord and Creator with such shame, with such bad actions having gone before us? How will we stand before Jesus alayhi salam, or Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam, or Moses alayhi salam, after having lived our entire lives professing to follow these great men of God, yet doing the exact opposite of what they instructed and demonstrated? Do not be rejected in the divine presence of God. Now is the opportunity to remember our Creator, to fear God, to not oppress and abuse others, to purify and purge our hearts of the sicknesses and diseases of the self, so that we can return to our Lord and our Creator clean with His mercy and with His light, with His grace. It's possible that we may get away with oppression and abuse in this life, but we will pay for it in eternity. And God is merciful. The Lord, the Creator, is infinitely merciful, compassionate, loving, and forgiving. One has but to repent, to turn back towards God. If we are still breathing, if you are still breathing and given life, there is the opportunity for us to change. It takes but a moment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may God Almighty guide us to His divine will. When He subhanahu wa ta'ala was going to create human beings, the angels protested and said, "What is this creation that you are going to create that will spill blood upon the earth, cause corruption therein, who will fight and slay one another?" Yet Allah Almighty said, "I know what you know not. There is a greater possibility for us." Thus far, we have been failing. Collectively speaking, as human beings, we have been failing. This is a warning and a wake-up call for all of us. Now is the time to change. Go back to faith. Go back to your Lord and Creator. Go back to humility, piety, reverence. Go back to love. That is God's will for creation. Love. Doesn't matter what you call yourself, Christian, Muslim, Jew, or anything else. If the heart is devoid of love and compassion, you will never see the divine presence of God. Because God can only be known through love. May Allah Almighty, may our Lord and Creator make us to be amongst the people of excellence, amongst the people of light,